WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I'm back. That's right. I'm your host, Al Martin, here on this Tuesday, April 1, 8, 2017. So honored you've allowed us to be a part of this BEA beautiful afternoon here in mid-Michigan. It's about 65 degrees outside. The sun is out. The birds are chirping. The grass is green. And it is a beautiful spring day here in Lansing. On today's Current Sports, we have a fun-filled hour of sports talk as we will dive a bit into the offseason moves expected for the Detroit Pistons. Aaron McMahon, Detroit Pistons beat writer for MLive.com, will join me on the show to chat about that. Also, Miles Bridges didn't get a chance to rant about what took place last night. Bridges inviting the entire Michigan State community in front of the Sparty statue as he announced in front of everyone that he would return for a sophomore campaign. Scott Van Pelt of ESPN's 12 Midnight edition of SportsCenter had an interesting rant concerning Bridges returning and just the college basketball landscape in general. You'll hear from SVP and you'll get my thoughts on what he had to say, and I'll take you to that Thursday evening event. Unlike anything I've ever covered as a reporter, you don't want to miss that. The Detroit Lions have opened up light workouts. Yesterday was the official day for that. Again, practice does not officially start for the Lions until next month. But pretty cool just to be talking about the Detroit Lions as, again, the NFL really has no chill. It's amazing. NFL is like the only professional sport where you can legitimately talk about it every month of the year, no matter if it's in season or not. So we'll talk about the Honolulu Blue opening up workouts. And on the back end of the show, a certain Michigan State football recruit was cited for alcohol. We'll bring that story to you in just a moment in our headliners. And umps possibly mic'd up in Major League Baseball. Is that a bit too much? We'll debate that as well. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. If you want to weigh in via social media, just simply go to Facebook.com, where we are currently live streaming the show. And you could even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we begin with news concerning Michigan State football recruiting. Unfortunate news here. MSU football signee LaShawn Polino Bell was injured yesterday in a jet ski accident while vacationing with his family in the Bahamas. Polino Bell is in stable condition after suffering internal injuries, and he was flown to a hospital in Miami. There is no report yet on the extent of the internal injuries suffered. Polino Bell is a part of Mark D'Antonio's 2017 recruiting class and was expected to come in and contribute on a defensive line that is thin in terms of depth. He was rated the 33rd best defensive end in the country by ESPN and helped his high school team finish top five in the nation last season. And more unfortunate MSU recruiting news. Jacob Panishuk, another incoming defensive line recruit for 2017, was ticketed for alcohol while on his official visit to campus back in January. The 17-year-old, yeah, he's not 21, was cited for a minor in possession at 12:51 a.m. on January 14th in East Lansing, according to MLive's Kyle Austin. Now, this misdemeanor was reduced to a civil infraction, and Panishuk had to pay a $155 fine. Panishuk, rated 3-star prospect on the defensive line. His brother, Mike Panishuk, just recently finished a productive freshman campaign at Michigan State at defensive tackle. We'll have more on that story later on this hour. Josh Jackson, the Kansas basketball star freshman. Of course, Tom Izzo was trying to get Josh to come to Michigan State and join Miles Bridges and that highly touted freshman class of last season. But Josh, of course, went to Kansas. He announced on Monday that he will be entering the NBA draft and signing with former NBA player. And he also used to play with the great Michael Jordan, B.J. Armstrong. That's right. A lot of people forget that B.J. is actually an agent in the NBA. B.J. also from Detroit. Went to Taft Elementary School, in Detroit. So he signs with B.J. Jackson, the Big 12 freshie of the year, averaged 16.3 points per game, 7.4 rebounds in one season with the Jayhawks. He was great all year. Jackson was the nation's number one recruit when he signed with Kansas after attending Prolific Peck High School out in California. Now, Jackson currently sits at number 3 in ESPN draft analysis Chad Ford's rankings. Ford mentioned that Jackson is still in the mix for the number 1 pick, although most teams have him at 2 or 3. Isaac, if you had to just throw out a guess as to how that 1, 2, and 3 would go, if I had to guess, I think it may go Markelle Fultz, and I go back and forth with him and Lonzo Ball, and then I will probably say Jackson.
I agree with you entirely. Okay. That's my same list. Thing is, it does matter who gets the first pick. If the Boston Celtics get the first pick, I think they could go Josh Jackson conceivably.
Interesting. We'll of course have a complete mock draft once the NBA season is said and done and we turn our attention toward the NBA draft. But yeah, Markelle Fultz, Ball, and Jackson are certainly in that mix for 1, 2, and 3. All right, the Michigan State baseball team will travel on the road to Ann Arbor this afternoon to square off against rival Michigan in a non-conference matchup. The Spartans come in having taken 2 of 3 games in a weekend series with Ohio State and winners of 5 of their last 7 matchups. The Wolverines enter the contest ranked number 15 in the nation, having just swept number 16 Oklahoma last weekend. The Spartans have won 4 of the last 5 matchups between the two schools. The probable pitching matchup will feature freshman right-hander Mike Mokma for MSU against junior southpaw Michael Hendrickson for Michigan. First pitch scheduled for 6 p.m. from Michigan's Will Pond Complex. And you can find that game on BTN+. Plus, and more baseball news, the Detroit Tigers are back in action tonight after getting a day off on Monday. The Tigers will travel to Tampa Bay to take on the Rays in the first game of a 3-game set. Michael Fulmer will toe the rubber for Detroit, and he will square off against Matt Andrus for the Rays. Tigers slugger Miguel Cabrera, though, left Sunday's game in Cleveland with back soreness, so his status for this one is up in the air. When is the last time Miggy had a full season of just great health, right? Brad Ausmus mentioned previously that he was hoping to get Miggy a day off in Tampa. The Tigers enter the contest atop the AL Central at 8-4, while the Rays come in at 6-8. First pitch, 7:10 p.m. from Tropicana Field and can be found on Fox Sports Detroit. According to various reports, MLB, that's right, Major League Baseball, and its umpires are expected to discuss a plan to have the crew chiefs wear a mic and explain replay rulings to the viewers at home, much like they do in the National Football League. MLB asked umps to wear a mic for last year's All-Star game, but there was not enough time to do it. One possible plan is to try it at this year's All-Star game, see how it goes, tweak it throughout the second half of the year. However, MLB and the umps are currently in the middle of a 5-year labor deal, so any changes would have to come via negotiation and agreement on both sides. In NFL news, the Detroit Lions offensive tackle Cornelius Lucas signed his restricted free agent tender yesterday worth a non-guaranteed $1.8 mil. Lucas was one of 2 restricted free agents the Lions had, with Kyrie Thornton being the other. Thornton signed a 2-year deal earlier this offseason. Lucas signs his tender just in time to participate in the beginning of offseason workouts, which began yesterday. Lucas is expected to compete for playing time with the likes of Corey Robinson this fall. He appeared in 5 games as a backup last season, but was sidelined late in the year due to a foot injury. And last, but certainly not least, former Detroit Pistons star and 5-time NBA champ Dennis Rodman. He was added to the 2017 Motor City Comic Con yesterday. Rodman will be there on Saturday, May 20th, where the public can come and meet him. The event will be held at Rock Suburban Showplace out in Novi. Tickets to get in on Saturday are $40, and additional charges must be paid for photographs and autographs with the special guests. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, as I mentioned at the top of the hour. Again, weigh in via social media as well, Facebook.com/currentsports, and even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR at WKAR underscore sports. We've got a lot on the slate. We'll talk Pistons. We'll talk Miles Bridges. We'll talk Lions. We'll talk MSU football. And we'll talk and debate about this whole MLB and umpire situation in which the umps may be mic'd up. Interesting. Call in 517-355-WKAR. Let's start the show.
To the surprise of no one, Josh Jackson declared for the NBA draft Monday, a consensus top five recruit when he chose Kansas. He will almost certainly be a top five pick. With the deadline to declare a week away, we watched the predictable parade of one-and-dones, the surefire lottery selections, and the always puzzling head-scratchers that make you wonder who, if anyone, a kid has as counsel. Life mostly is about wants and needs. Oftentimes, the combination of wanting to be an NBA star and needing to help out monetarily hastens the process of joining the job pool, ready or not. It's rare we see a surefire lottery pick sit tight in school, but Miles Bridges is apparently a rare young man. He was a consensus five-star, top 10 recruit last year. He would undoubtedly go in the lottery, which would start the meter on his million-dollar NBA career. Instead, in the middle of the Michigan State campus, he announced last week he was staying in East Lansing to play for Tom Izzo for another season. Izzo immediately started the three more years chant before quickly pulling the plug on that. A sophomore season's already a bonus that Izzo never imagined. Bridges spoke of unfinished business, and I'm not picking on the young man, but that sounds like something that you say because you think you're supposed to have some kind of an explanation for a move that surprised so many people. It seems that the truth is actually much simpler and even better. His wants and needs were aligned. He knew he needed to get better. He told his coach he needed to improve his game, but more than anything else, he just wanted to be a college kid. He wanted to be part of another Spartan team, a Spartan team, incidentally, that has a chance to be fantastic. So he's staying. He's 19. He's a kid. He gets to stay in the sandbox that is college. Now, he'll do the grown-up thing, get the insurance policy that protects his future, and he'll enjoy his present. Good for him. Great for Michigan State. Not so great if you pull for a team that has to play them at least twice. But as a guy who spent as long as he could in college, I will say what I always say. Stay as long as you can and enjoy yourself, because the real world will be waiting on you when you get there.
It's always a party each and every weekday afternoon here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. WKAR's Current Sports is live and in full effect. I am your host, Al Martin. I'm back after a two-show absence. Shout out to engineer Isaac Constance for holding things down on Friday and Monday. You did a fantastic job as always, my man. Thank you so much, dude. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm happy to have you back. A little bit of NBA playoff talk, bouncing back and forth, I'm sure.
For sure. Oh, yeah. We'll definitely get to the NBA playoffs. I got a few things to rant about when it comes to the NBA playoffs. Had a good time, though. Hope all of you out there had a fantastic Easter. I actually took a trip down to Florida to go see Mommy. I missed her. Yeah, I'm a mama's boy. I love my mom. So it was good seeing her. Also, my stepdad, step-unc. My sister Dominique was out there. It was a great time. Great time. Nothing like Miami, I tell you. The weather's good here. Don't get me wrong. Right now. Right now. And enjoy Tuesday, because I looked at the forecast. It gets up to 70 today. But the next five or so days, it's going to be cloudy. And the sun will not show in the next 5 days. All right? So enjoy it. But there's nothing like Miami weather. Had a great time out there. Got to play a round of golf, my first of the year. It was just a good time. Good time to recharge. But I tell you what, after a while, I'm like chomping at the bit to get back to work, because I love what I do. And I missed you all. And I did not get a chance. I'm sure Isaac actually wrote in some of our coverage from this moment. I want to start by talking about and elaborating on that rant that you heard just a minute ago from Scott Van Pelt on ESPN's, of course, midnight edition of SportsCenter. And I love SVP. He's one of my favorite guys on the air. And when it comes to his show, which is a revamped edition of SportsCenter, SportsCenter is going for, like, the big names now to attract higher ratings. I mean, you got Michael and Jamel on the 6 p.m. Then you got, of course, at midnight, SVP, and you got a few big names sprinkled in between there throughout the week. But, you know, SVP's, out of his whole new SportsCenter lineup, I love the ending. And that sounds so bad, right? It's not like I'm just waiting for it to end. No, I love the ending because that's when he rolls in usually his one big thing, where he just provides some commentary on a random sports topic that has been sitting and marinating on his noggin. Last night, he decided to rant about Miles Bridges returning to Michigan State for a sophomore campaign. He, of course, began that rant by, of course, breaking the news and talking about the latest news concerning Josh Jackson, who, of course, Michigan State was after to be a part of that heralded recruiting class that, of course, included Miles Bridges. And Josh Jackson and Miles Bridges are pretty close pals, I must say, as well. Cassius Winston is also a part of that threesome friendship. Josh Langford and Nick Ward. I mean, just imagine if Josh Jackson would have joined those four, right? We would have had an MSU version of the Fab Five here in East Lansing. But Josh decided to go to Kansas, and Josh Jackson, as I mentioned in our headliners, had decided to take his talents to the National Basketball Association, hiring an agent in B.J. Armstrong, former Chicago Bulls guard, Michigan native. Love B.J. So Josh, no-brainer, right, when it comes to Josh. Josh will be a top five, maybe even a top three pick in this year's upcoming NBA draft, without a doubt. The money is going to be there, right? But, you know, I tell you what, when covering that remarkable, absolutely remarkable moment on Thursday, I mean, folks, I tell you what, it was just riveting to see. Because I went to it took place in front of the Sparty statue on Michigan State's campus, And when I went to the Sparty statue, on my way there, I parked at IM West. It's absolutely packed, folks. It was about 1,000 students and just people there that are fans of the team. And I'm walking to the Sparty statue, and I ran into Jim Comperoni of Spartan Mag. And Jim and I, we're walking up, and we have to, like, maneuver our way through the crowd to get to the front of the Sparty statue to even cover this thing. And the way they had it set up, they had four chairs up on a stage right in front of the Sparty statue. And then you had regular chairs for the media members. It was set up just like any normal press conference. When I go and, you know, to these pressers for Tom Izzo, for Mark D'Antonio, just like a normal press conference for the media, right? And then around those chairs, you had just fans on top of fans on top of fans on top of fans. It was unlike anything I've ever seen. And Jim has been covering Spartan sports longer than I have. And I just had to pick his brain. And I asked Jim, have you ever seen, throughout your time covering sports here in the area, have you ever seen something as wild as this? And he says, no, I can't recall it. You know, he mentioned times back in the day, you know, when it comes to Michigan State sports, where there was just kind of a busy week of a big news when it comes to coaching hirings and announcements from certain players, but never something like this. And it was actually the idea, which I'm sure Isaac highlighted, it was the idea of Draymond Green's to hold this press conference outdoors. Draymond happened to talk to Tom Izzo and said, look, you're not going to hold this press conference in front in some stuffy room, right, with just the media. You got to make the fans a part of this. And if you remember when Draymond won an NBA championship with the Golden State Warriors, Draymond brought that trophy to the Sparty statue. Once that happened, fans got to come up to the Sparty statue, meet Draymond, you know, look at the NBA trophy. Just a really cool moment. So Draymond suggested, why not have that press conference outside? And as soon as Miles put that tweet out, a little after noon, as soon as he put that tweet out, it was like a wildfire. Just went across campus. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, I have to be at this, right? And, you know, as I made my way through the crowd, it was one of my favorite events I've ever covered because it was just so different. Four chairs up there, one for Tom Izzo, one for Miles Bridges, one for his mom, of course, Bridges' mom, Cynthia, one for his father, Raymond, and one for his sister. And they all were there, and they actually showed up a little late. So they started the press conference early, and then his mom, pops, and his sister came after. But it was so cool to watch it because Miles Bridges is just this shy freshman kid. Doesn't like a lot of attention, but he embraces it to a degree because he's so comfortable. Even when, you know, I noticed this when Miles was playing Moneyball, you know, out in Diamonddale. I mean, what was so remarkable is people would come and see who exactly this athletic incoming freshman phenom was, who was just throwing down thunderous dunks, it seemed like, every single play. And afterwards, you know, he would have all these fans coming up for autographs and pictures, and he didn't seem annoyed by it. I mean, I always think about myself, if I was in that predicament, would I get annoyed after seeing fan after fan after fan come up to me and ask for autographs or ask for pictures? This kid just takes it in stride. He does it with a smile on his face, and he's so humble. I love it. So when everybody's there just to hear the announcement of you know, whether or not he'll come back, I mean, Bridges, he was almost blushing up there. He's like, man, I don't deserve all this attention. I just want to come back and possibly do something really special here on this campus. So when he said, hey, I'm coming back, first off, I noticed two things in that moment. One, Miles was really, really shy. So he said it, and then when the crowd erupted, he just kind of put his head down and looked at Tom Izzo and said, can you believe this? Because they went nuts when he announced that. And they knew it. I mean, and again, we all knew he was going to announce that, right? He's not going to hold an outdoor press conference inviting the entire campus just to break their hearts and say he's going to the NBA. But I noticed another thing, too. Tom Izzo teared up. You could see on the face. If you go back, you could catch our report from that moment at Facebook.com/currentsports. Tom Izzo got real emotional and seemed to tear up as soon as Bridges said that, because he realizes just how special this team could be next season. And he realizes just how special this young kid is. And, you know, what's also remarkable is that, get this, out in Vegas, previously before Miles Bridges made the announcement, the odds were set at 20-1 for Michigan State to possibly win a national title next season. Those odds immediately after the decision went to 10-1 in Vegas, according to Bovada, the Bovada sports book, after Bridges made the announcement, right? It's unbelievable. And there's a clear ripple effect here. I don't know if you guys saw this, but on Saturday, some interesting news took place when it comes to Michigan State men's basketball. Get this. Jack Hoiberg, who is the son of Fred Hoiberg, who is the head coach of the Chicago Bulls, Jack Hoiberg announced that he would be turning down a full golf scholarship at the University of South Dakota to do what? Become a walk-on for the Michigan State University men's basketball team. I don't know if that had anything to do with Miles Bridges making that decision, but if I had to guess, I would give that a resounding heck yes. Okay? That's huge. You're starting just to see this ripple effect happen, right? And, you know, you look at it, you know, with Bridges back, Michigan State will return 78% of its scoring, 81% of its rebounding, from the season's 20-15 freshman-dominated squad that made it to the second round of the NCAA tourney but were eventually eliminated by Josh Jackson's Kansas Jayhawk team. And Michigan State will have just two seniors on the squad next season. Lou Ross, Tum Tum Nairn Jr., and, of course, Gavin Schilling. And I don't believe it could have a third if Ben Carter receives a 6-year of eligibility, but chatting with Chris Solari, who we had on the show recently, Chris doesn't believe, along with myself, I don't believe that Ben Carter is going to get that 6-year of eligibility. So they will lose Alvin Ellis III, Aaron Harris, and Matt Van Dyke all to graduation. Bridges, a phenom, Big Ten Freshman Player of the Year, of course, Also, he was named to the second team All-Big Ten squad, 16.9 points, 8.3 boards. I mean, his stats speak for themselves. So you get that. You also get Jaren Jackson Jr. coming back with the squad. Well, coming to the squad, I should say. Incoming freshman. 6'8", Xavier Tillman, a man that many thought should have won Michigan High School Basketball Player of the Year, donning the Mr. Basketball title. Of course, Isaiah Livers, who will be going to Michigan, won that award. But now, with all of these names now coming back, and knock on wood, a team that will supposedly probably have full health, Bridges can now play that true small forward position. And that's going to be key. So, and then you have this debate, you know, and to go back where I want to go with this whole thing, when it comes to whether or not players who are given lottery picks, because many people thought that Bridges was, if he would have thrown his name in the hat for the NBA draft. How do you evaluate that? Because when you look at the landscape of the NBA, especially when you evaluate the fact that the salary cap and the luxury cap are expected to be even higher than this past season's, due to, of course, that 9-year, $24 billion TV deal, which started this season. I mean, you look at that money just sitting there for you, and you say, why not take it, right? Again, Miles Bridges is a special kind of cat. And I want to ease the nerves of many people who had the opinion that Miles should have gone and struck while the iron is hot. I want to tell you guys, even though it would have been cool for Bridges to, quote-unquote, strike while the iron is hot and get paid as a lottery pick in this year's upcoming NBA draft. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, the skillet will still sizzle if Bridges leaves to go and play for his sophomore campaign, which he will now do. Because get this, this year the league salary cap exploded to, what, $94 million from last season, $70 million. That was actually up from projections of $92 million in April of last year and $89 million 2 years ago. So you look at some of the teams that were atop that board, right? It meant that the Boston Celtics could have as much as $53 million in cap space, the New York Knicks, and also, I don't know if you guys saw this news, roll in the heartbreak, because they were certainly one of my favorite couples in all of celebrity. Carmelo Anthony and Lala Anthony getting a divorce. That was shocking news as I heard that last night. But, yeah, so I don't think Carmelo's going to be with the Knicks anymore, especially when you look at what Phil Jackson had to say. But neither here nor there. That's another rant for another time. But the New York Knicks, L.A. Lakers last year had the capability to reach more than $30 million in cap space due to that influx of money. And the bump also meant that players with 10 years or more of experience, such as LeBron James, who signed a new max contract and earned $30.8 million to start. And if you put that in perspective, get that, LeBron James, $30.8 million to start. Only two players have earned $30 million in one season, that being Michael Jeffrey Jordan and Kobe Bryant. The money that is in the NBA right now really makes it hard for any player to turn it down. But next year's cap, and this is why I also look at this, because I think if next year's cap was going to go down, it would have made it really, really hard for Miles to come back. Really, really hard. But the NBA salary cap projection for the 2017-18 season will increase to an unprecedented. This will be the first time this has ever happened in NBA history. To triple digits in the millions. $101 million, up from $94 million this season. The luxury tax line will increase to $121 million the season after that. So not only will it increase next season, but it's expected and projected to increase the year after that. The league also sent projections for the 2018-19 season. And again, you know, the figures can change based on the amount of basketball-related income generated as well. But the projections are really designed to help teams plan for the future to see what those caps look like. But the reality is the next 2 years is expected to go up. In 2018-19, so not next season, but the season after that, get this, the projections are expected to go from $102 million to $124 million. That is what I like to call insane in the membrane. Miles, barring, and this is the big thing, this is the only thing I worried about when it comes to Miles Bridges returning. Because, again, he did miss 7 games due to an injury this season. But the injury bug. If Miles stays healthy, next year's NBA draft is not expected to be as stacked as this year's. Miles Bridges could make a lot of moolah come next year if he stays healthy and balls out and has a season similar to what he had in his freshman campaign. And what I love about also rookie contracts in the NBA is it's a good day and age to be an NBA player, because all first-round rookie contracts are guaranteed for 2 seasons. I love that. Guaranteed money on the table regardless of what happens. That's what makes it so intriguing. I mean, you look at how everything panned out last year for some of the top upper echelon players. And it was fun just to watch the projections for an unheralded year when it comes to salary cap options for players. I mean, you look at the projection for some of those first round picks. I mean, I can go to Ben Simmons, excuse me. You know, where I'm looking at Forbes.com, when Forbes did his projections on the eve of the 2016 NBA draft. I mean, they had Ben Simmons signed for a 2-year deal of $12 million, a 4-year deal of upwards of $26 million. Heck, actually, if you go down the line, they had all first round picks estimated to make between $2 million to $12 million throughout a 2-year deal. Boy, oh boy, it must be nice. This team is going to be really, really good. And again, it was a moment that will go down in Spartan lore. It was unlike anything I've ever covered, anything I've ever seen. That moment, that week, actually, because if you remember, that was a busy week. Earlier in the week, you had Danton Cole being announced as the new head coach of the Michigan State University hockey team. And then later on that week, you have Miles Bridges coming out and announcing that he will be back. And ruffled in the midst of that news was also that a 4th Michigan State University football player is involved in a sexual assault situation. What a week, folks. What a week it was in Spartan sports history. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In just a moment, we will invite to the show Aaron McMahon, Detroit Pistons beat writer for MLive.com. Aaron will join me to preview the offseason expected moves for the Detroit Pistons. We will also have former Michigan State University basketball star Anthony Iani on the show to talk about Autism Awareness Month here in the month of April. Be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on AM 870, 94.5 FM. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, you can be a part of the show by calling in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. A few of you are weighing in via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. And I do want to let this be known as well. We didn't have it in our headliners, but Ben Grimes chimes in and says, quote, "Hi, Al. Hockey was insane last night." Get this. All 4 games went to overtime, end quote. Thank you for that, Ben, because I did see that also on SportsCenter last night. There is absolutely nothing like the National Hockey League playoffs. And yes, all 4 games went to OT last night. Toronto topped Washington 4-3. Toronto leads that series 2-1. That went to overtime. The Ottawa Senators topped the Boston Bruins 4-3. That went to overtime. Ottawa leads that series 2-1. A 2-3-0 series here. Nashville topping the Chicago Blackhawks. That's a bit surprising to me, I must say. 3-2 the final of that. Nashville leads that series 3-0. And this one also went to overtime. Anaheim over Calgary, the Flames. 5-4 the final of that one. Anaheim leads that series 3-0 as well. What a night it was for NHL playoff hockey. You guys know I'm an NBA guy, though. Yeah. While I was in the airport, I was watching Indiana and Cleveland. So, but a fun night of NHL playoff hockey. All right. Again, call in 517-355-WKAR. Let's get to our first guest for today's current sports. We have Aaron McMahon, who joins us via phone right now. Aaron, of course, covers the Detroit Pistons for MLive.com. Aaron, how are you doing, my man?
I'm good, Al. Good to be back.
Without a doubt, my friend. How's the offseason treating you?
It's been good. I've had a few days to finally, you know, get rest and unwind, and it's going to be good. It's been a long season, so it's good to get some time off.
It certainly has. So I want to dive right into it, Aaron, and talk about just the year for the Detroit Pistons. I mean, another year, actually two of the last 3 years in which the Pistons don't make the playoffs. I mean, they haven't made the playoffs in, what, 7 of the last 8? Is that correct, right?
Yep, that would be correct.
7 of the last 8 years. It's been so frustrating to watch this team this season. I mean, they were right there in the mix and just kind of trailed off in the final few weeks of the NBA year. How would you put in perspective this team this year for the red, white, and royal blue?
Yeah, you summed it up nice. I think it was a disappointment. You know, I think coming in, you know, this was a team that I think some people thought may have, you know, made that jump into that, you know, the top four, top five of the Eastern Conference. Surely, you know, I thought so. I thought they had a deeper and better team than they had last season. You know, the offseason acquisitions of Ish Smith and John Lewis were supposed to give them, you know, added shooting, better point guard play off the bench, and really bolster a bench that really struggled last year. You know, that was one of the Pistons' downfalls last season. You know, they made the playoffs. They got their 44 wins, but they didn't get a whole lot of production off the bench. So coming in, everybody thought, you know, even if the starters, you know, put together, you know, a season equal to last season, they thought they'd get more scoring and more offense off the bench. And then, you know, you have the Reggie Jackson injury to start that kind of puts them behind, forces them to change the offense and the starting lineup. And then you saw specifically John Lewis, you know, him kind of trail off in the second half of the season. You saw some guys not shoot as well as they did last season. So it was just, I think, a big disappointment, I think, for everybody involved, Stan Van Gundy, the players. They never really clicked. You know, I've used this analogy a couple times now. To me, it was like sitting down at the blackjack table and playing, you know, how you're supposed to by the book, and just getting killed and killed and waiting for things to turn around, and they just never did. They never gelled. They never got it together like some people thought they would.
Aaron, you released an article yesterday entitled, quote, "Not one Detroit Pistons player worthy of an A in final season grading." And you went through and gave multiple grades. And I want to go to one grade in particular, and that concerns that of the head coach, Stan Van Gundy. You gave the man a D+. And he was, of course, in the midst of a lot of convos amongst Detroit Pistons fans like myself when it comes to whether or not Stan Van Gundy lost a grip on this team, whether or not Stan Van Gundy lost the locker room. Is that, in fact, true when evaluating this team like you did, firsthand recollection of it, seeing as though you cover the team, Aaron? Did Stan Van lose a grip on the squad?
I think he did, and I think it kind of stood out to me near the end of the season. It was the first game in Orlando, mid-March. They were kind of in that free fall where I think they lost 11-12 or whatever that losing streak was. You know, they come into Orlando after sitting Reggie Jackson. Excuse me, it was the last game Reggie Jackson played before they decided to sit him down. But, you know, I remember vividly, you know, Stan was asked after the game if the players had tuned him out and had they given up. And, you know, there was no definitive no. Stan said, I remember him saying point blank, you'd have to ask the players. That, to me, signaled that Stan, you know, was lost. And I remember writing that at the time. You know, he seemed like a lost guy who didn't have any answers. He was out of answers, didn't know what to do from there. And that, to me, signals that, yes, he in essentially lost the team, lost the roster at some point. You know, I don't know if it was from, you know, him being overreactionary, because he does tend to be that way. You know, he likes to get on his guys. He's a hard-nosed, old-school type of guy who wants to win and wants to play the right way. And if you don't do that, then he's going to be on your butt. So, you know, that may have played a factor. You know, I don't know. And I think to some degree the reinsertion of Reggie Jackson early December right after the Pistons were kind of hitting their groove there. They won three in a row, won a big one on the road. They seem to be turning the tide, and then you bring Reggie Jackson back, throw him in the starting lineup, and force them to kind of change again. So I think there are a lot of factors at play. I do think at some point that, you know, Stan kind of lost the guys. You know, that being said, can you get them back? I do think so. You know, Stan's, he's a proven winner. He's shown that, you know, his formula does work when the guys listen. But at the same time, you know, it's going to be a tough offseason. He's got some things to gauge. He's got some decisions to make, and then we'll kind of go from there.
And it's certainly a catch 22 when I evaluate this squad, Aaron, because on one side I look at SVG, and I think he's a great basketball mind. And when he was hired, I feel like a lot of people felt pretty good about it. A lot of Pistons fans felt pretty good about it. But when you come off a year like they did, of course, that chatter is going to ensue. That negative chatter is going to ensue. Do you feel like most Pistons fans feel like he is still the right guy for the job?
Yeah, I think that's mixed at this point. You know, you've got some guys who, and I've had a lot of fans on social media, Twitter, and I've gotten a lot of emails throughout the season that, you know, they're down on Stan Van Gundy. They think maybe he isn't the guy. Maybe he should be let go. Like you said before, maybe he's lost the team. But I think it's important here to put things in context. You know, when he came in here, you know, this team, this franchise was struggling. They hadn't won in a long time. He brought them to the playoffs last year in year two, when I think most people expected a playoff berth this season. So, you know, you take them to the playoffs last year, 44 wins. They take a step back this year. I do think, you know, he deserves at least one more season. I think next season will be the telltale sign, you know, whether or not they make changes this offseason or not. I think you've got to get back in the playoffs next year. You've got to improve next season. I think you've got to improve on 44 wins next season. I mean, and if he doesn't, you know, and I've said this before, I think this time next year, if we're in the same situation, you know, you're discussing whether or not you bring him back. But no, I think it'd be too soon to cut the cord on him now, as some fans may want to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, he's built this, he's finally gotten his team, he's gotten his players, the whole roster now are his handpicked guys. And I think it's important not to necessarily cut the cord after one slip up.
Yeah, I think that's very well put, Aaron. And that brings me to my next point, to piggyback off of your offseason standpoint there. What moves do you think the Pistons will make this offseason, and what do you think they do in the NBA draft?
Yeah, the draft is going to be interesting because it's going to, you know, obviously depend on where they fall. Right now they're sitting at 12. They've got something like a 1% shot to get in the top three. So realistically, you know, you're looking at 12. I think their needs, you know, are a couple-fold, really. They need some shooting. I've said that for all season long. They needed a knockdown, defined shooter. I think you'll see them get that. Now, I don't know if that's going to be in the draft or that's going to come in trades or free agency, whatever the case may be. But it's going to depend on, I guess, who's available. Now, there's a good crop of point guards available in this draft. 12 is an interesting point where they're at. I don't know if they'll be able to get into that group, I guess, so to speak. So maybe a situation just like last year when they got Henry Ellenson of best available player. So if that's the case, we could see another center. And I know they've got some size, and some draft boards have them taking the kid from Gonzaga. So I would not be surprised if it's another case where they take best available player and they kind of go from there. I wouldn't be surprised if you see one of the two guys on the roster now moved. Stan's made it pretty apparent or obvious, or open, I guess, that they're open to making some tweaks. You know, some guys didn't improve last season, and they may be looking to trade them. A couple areas to pay attention to. This doesn't necessarily mean they're going to trade them, but they may look to trade them. Andre Drummond maybe a name. I know that might shock some folks, but Andre, I think, took a step back this year. My postseason grades, I believe, I gave him a D+.
You did, yeah.
He averages double doubles. He got his rebounds and everything else, but there were too many nights where it seemed like he took the night off. You know, the energy wasn't there. The leadership I think many are looking for wasn't there. You saw it specifically in the final few weeks of the season. It looked like he was just checked out. Stan seemed frustrated by it. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they looked to trade him. There were rumors before the trade deadline that they were looking to move him. So it's all going to depend on who they get for him. And then another area I'm looking at is the forward spot. You know, they've got three who Stan said, you know, midway through the season. They feel like they've got three starting caliber forwards in John Lewis, Marcus Morris, Tobias Harris. And then you got Henry Ellenson, who's a kind of a wild card guy. They play the down the stretch, who look good in short doses. So I wouldn't be surprised if you hear rumblings of a trade involving one of those three guys. Marcus Morris, contract wise, I think is the best value for the Pistons. He's only making $5 million. They're looking to open up some cap money. Tobias Harris might be a guy they look to move. He's had a pretty good season. He led the team in scoring, so they might be able to get some guys for him. But I don't know. We'll see. You know, they've got three guys, I think, forward to one of which they can afford to move, and then you've got the Andre Drummond situation to value. So it might be a busy offseason. I suspect there'll be plenty of rumors and plenty of trade discussion around the Pistons. But don't be surprised if they make a move in two this offseason.
Aaron, you certainly coverage all your bases there because, I mean, yeah, and you look at Andre Drummond. I mean, the Pistons made Andre Drummond the highest paid player in team history and 15th highest in the NBA when they gave him, I mean, he stole money here, 5-year, $130 million contract last summer. So, yeah, I think that the Pistons are, they will certainly hold some options as to what to do with him this offseason and to test the waters as to see what teams are interested in him. Aaron McMahon, Detroit Pistons beat writer for MLive.com. Aaron, thank you so much for your time. Absolutely fantastic, dude.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Al.
Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will chat with Anthony Iani. He is live here in Studio S to talk about the Relentless Tour. Of course, he'll talk some Spartan basketball as well. He's a former MSU hoop great. That and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished up chatting with Aaron McMahon, of course, Detroit Pistons beat writer for MLive.com. Aaron did a great job of breaking down the offseason situation for the Detroit Pistons and what moves should be made. Quick wrap of how the regular season went for the Detroit Pistons, as again, they didn't make the playoffs seven times. In 8 years that they have not made the playoffs. Tough year for the Pistons. All right, let's move on, though, and let's get to our second guest for today's Current Sports. He is live here in Studio S, a dear friend of the show, former Michigan State basketball great Anthony Iani, who, of course, is a renowned motivational speaker, one of the best in the biz, folks. He is with the Relentless Tour to chat about that and so much more. We welcome Mr. Anthony Iani. Ant, how you doing?
Good, Al. How about you, man?
Good to see you, dude. You're so busy, dude. You know, we always, Ant and I, a lot of people don't know this, but Ant and I, we always texting back and forth and debating about sports left and right, especially when it comes to Michigan State sports. And I must say, I got to give you all the props in the world, dude, because Ant and I, we were going back and forth, Isaac, as to whether or not Miles Bridges will return. And I said, nah, dude, it's too much money on the table. This kid is ready. He's got the NBA body. How could you not go? And then it's like, I don't know, Al. Hey, I think he may stay. They can do something really special. They got a great class next year. They're gonna be really, really good. He may want to win and put winning first. You nailed it. And you text me that day when the press conference. You're like, Al, I told you, man. I'm like, all props to you. Why did you feel so strongly in Bridges coming back? Because you know him, and you know a lot of members of this team. Because again, you bought out for him. Why did you feel so strongly in that Miles would return?
Well, let me go on the record by saying I had no idea what was going on behind the scenes. Let me get that off my chest. Second of all, you know, I could just tell, like, talking with Miles and, like, first meeting him over the summer, last summer, I could tell that he's not your original one-and-done player. Like, he's not like Alonzo Ball who's just going to announce that he's leaving, like, 5 minutes after you lose the NCAA tournament. Like, I could tell he was not that type of kid.
Just different, right?
Just different. And, like, how he carries himself, how he puts the team before everything else, before himself. Like, I was just so impressed with that. Because if you look at other past freshmen that come before him, you know, I never seen a Michigan State freshman be like that, maybe except for Magic, because Magic is one of the nicest guys you can ever meet. Mm-hmm. And Miles kind of has a resemblance of Magic and how he acts on the court and off the court. But and plus, I knew that the way his year was and how the injuries we had and how he was playing out of position, I was like, okay, he's not a center. He's not a he's a small forward and plays a little bit power forward. I said, if he has an entire year playing his actual position, that's going to show scouts, like, you know what, not only is he can play anywhere on the court, but, like, he's pretty good at one position. And the team and the guys we got coming in next year,
oh,
it's going to be scary.
Jaren Jackson, Xavier Tillman, you get the sophomore experience of Bridges along with Langford and Ward and Winston. Oh.
And remember what Nick Ward said after Miles' decision. He said, we're going to hurt some people next year. And I said, and the first thing I thought of was when Coach Izzo, after the NCAA tournament loss, said, you know, I got a big team next year, and we're going to go out there and we're going to beat some people up. I was like, all right, I like this. I like it.
So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a fun year next year. I want to shift gears now and talk about the month of April, mm-hmm. being Autism Awareness Month. And a lot of people may not know this, Ant, but I'm sure it's a part of your story and a part of your testimony, really. You were diagnosed with autism at a young age, and you overcame those odds, became, I believe, the first NCAA Division I basketball player diagnosed with autism. Is that right?
Yep.
Unbelievable stuff. And that's become a part of your message when you talk to different schools and different kids along with the Relentless Tour. I just want to ask, what does the month of April mean to you with it being Autism Awareness Month? It's got to be pretty special and dear to your heart.
It is, because, you know what, Al, it's a community of 3.5 million people in the country I represent. That's how many people we have in our country with autism, and there's over 5 million people worldwide. So I put all those people on my shoulders every day because, you know, it's a community that I represent every day and I'm proud to represent. But for our community, the ASD community, to have a month of its own to show and raise awareness for autism, I mean, it means a lot to us. And I know it means a lot to me because, you know, the more awareness we can get out there about autism, the better understanding that people are going to have about what individuals with autism like myself go through on a daily basis. Because obviously the spectrum is it's very big. You know, there's high functioning, which is Asperger's and PDD-NOS, which is what I have. And then there's the lower functioning where you're going to have kids or young adults with autism be taken care of for most of their life. And so I'm trying to show everybody in the world and around the country and around the state that, you know, that there is hope and inspiration for individuals like myself.
And I actually caught you on the local news, actually, because I saw you were doing a speaking campaign specifically for autism, I believe, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Here in the Lansing area. Absolutely awesome. You're always out in the community and engaged. I'm curious, Ant, because when you go on these speaking tours with the Relentless Tour, you preach an anti-bullying message. And you also, I'm sure, get a chance to talk and work with a lot of autistic children. What's that like for you?
It's a great feeling, man, because it also tells me that I'm giving back to those individuals that I've been in their shoes before. And it also means that I'm giving those individuals with autism hope and inspiration that they need, because a lot of those individuals go through a lot of rough patches and a lot of rough days in their life. And I met a couple kids who want to play basketball, and they're like, well, I've been told kids with autism can't play basketball. And when they meet me for the first time, hear my story, I'm like, so I heard word on the street that you said that you can't play basketball because people with autism are not allowed to play basketball. And the student looked at me and said, I don't know who told you that. Like, somebody was making that up. And so, but for my story to hit home with somebody like that, it really means a lot to me, because it shows you that I'm doing my job, but it also shows you that, you know, these individuals look up to me in a way too.
And it's such a touchy time here in today's world because, you know, we've had you on multiple times and we talk about just how bullying has become so much worse over the years. Because we made the point how it always follows you now. I mean, you're at home and it follows you because you're on social media. Kids are on social media.
Right.
And kids are throwing, you know, just sidebar comments left and right on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, wherever it may be. And for you, what's the most rewarding part of what you do?
I think the stories and the responses I get from parents, teachers, and students. I mean, I've had students tell me how their bullies have gone up to them after an assembly of mine and just say, like, I'm sorry, like, I'm done, like, I don't want to hurt you anymore. And for that to happen, like, that tells you that, you know, I'm doing my job. But at the same time, you know, that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kids.
Right.
That's our society wanting to make a change. And for my words just to hit home for people and for them to say, okay, if this guy tells us to make the change because of these reasons, you know, let's do it. And it makes me feel good because, you know, the more and more stories and responses I get like that, the more and more I want to work harder and push myself to be in that elite status one day, like I talked about with you, being that elite company status of being one of the best speakers, not just in the state, not just in the country, but in the world one day, because I'm trying to make a change in somebody's life, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get to that point.
And you're certainly doing that and so much more. And for our listeners out there, for those that are listening to that possibly want to get involved with Autism Awareness Month here in April, what avenues allow them to do that, Ant?
So they can obviously go to like the Michigan Autism Council's website page, which is on our governor's, the Michigan.gov page. And I've been on the council now for the last 5 years. And what we've been doing as a council is making sure like our legislation bill goes smooth. If we hear any, patch up some rough spots or speed bumps along the way, and just basically like getting involved in the community. That's basically the number one important thing as far as awareness goes.
Mm-hmm.
And working with different autism organizations we have in the state, whether it's donating or doing walks with them or just doing whatever the case may be to help promote autism awareness. And there's still a lot of work to do as far as autism awareness goes, but, we're working. And I think the important thing is to get more and more people on board every single day.
You are one busy dude, and I know immediately after you join us here on the show, you're headed to Grand Rapids, I think, right?
Yep, heading to Grand Rapids, and I'm in Fremont tomorrow.
Wow. And we've chatted about this multiple times on the show as well. I don't know how you do it. You're always traveling. Your schedule is crazy. Finding that balance. I have to ask, with school about to be out for many across the nation and probably after May, does it slow down in the summer for you?
It really does, but I still, still come back to Michigan State and coach basketball camp. Now that I'm coaching at Livonia Churchill High School for Girls, we have our own basketball camp in the summer. And I don't think I've told you this, but I also coach a autism basketball camp for an organization called Kids on the Go. This will be the third year we're doing it.
I did not know you do that.
Yeah, so it's for kids with individuals with autism. And so the organization that hired me, Kids on the Go, they heard about me and were like, yeah, we do this camp in the summertime and I want to add basketball to it. And would you like to be the guy who runs it? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So it's been a very successful 2 years with Kids on the Go. And I know my Department of Civil Rights has been, kind enough to let me run with it as well. And so, and then I'll speak to conferences as well. But, I like to tell people I'm on a WWE schedule because those guys are on the road like 300 days a year.
Yeah.
And, the only part with me is I'm on the road all the time going to towns and cities and colleges around the state of the country just without the wrestling.
Right,
and
exactly,
so,
right.
But it does get tiring because I could be up at 4:30 in the morning one day hopping in a car to travel 4 hours to go speak, or I can be at the airport. But, I just have such a great love and passion for this. That's what carries me every day. And trying to strive to be the best in this business, it's what carries me during my rough days as well.
We got 30 seconds left, and if there is a listener out there that wants to possibly get their little one involved with the autism basketball camp, is it too late to do so? I'm just asking.
No, not at all. I mean, if they go to kidsonthegocamp.com, they can sign up for the kids there, and if they want to get a hold of me, go to relentlessstore.com.
Anthony Ianni, and again, people are calling me. You see, this happens all the time. Isaac's cranking up, too. I'm working, folks. My phone just buzzed and flew off the podium, but... Folks, we'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Ant, thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it, Al.
Have a great afternoon and be easy, people. Stop calling me people when I'm on the air.